today, as mentioned. We wanted to turn to the consumption voucher scheme. By early yesterday evening, more than 1.5 million people had registered for the scheme, but there were some overloading problems on the one of the secure government app, I Am Smart. The public has until the 17th to sign up electronically and until August the 14th using a paper form. Joining us on the line now for comment is David Webb, founder and editor of website.com. Mr. Webb, good morning to you.
Morning, Hugh.
Thanks for joining us once again. So 1.5 million, that's an enormous number, isn't it, in a day. Does that mean it's a success?
Oh, I'm sure that nearly everybody who is entitled to it will take it. It's free money from the government. It's an incredibly wasteful scheme in terms of the prudent use of public resources, but it is part of the government's overall approach these days of tax and spend. In the same budget that they announced this $36 billion scheme, they announced that they would increase the rates of tax on new vehicles by 30% and the rate of stamp duty by 30%. So it's classic tax and spend, and very misguided. It won't do very much for overall expenditure because you can use your Octopus card. So most people will just substitute the voucher for cash that they would have spent anyway, and then use that cash either to save or invest in the stock market or something else.
So the economic boost effect, in your assessment, is going to be pretty modest.
Minimal, maybe 0.1 times 3.6 billion rather than 36 billion. And of course, that's mostly spent if it's on consumption. A lot of it is on imported goods anyway, so the money goes out of the territory. Apart from the profit margin of the retailers.
That's right. I mean, if as it happens, I go to the supermarket every week.
You would struggle not to spend $1,000 a month on groceries.
Yes.
In Hong Kong. And so what you'll do is load up your Octopus with the voucher and carry on as you were. And it just means that you won't need to put as much cash in the tills.
A, it will get spent, and B, it will get spent in Hong Kong. When you just simply give out cash, it could be saved. It could be used to buy stuff from Amazon.
Essentially, so can this, because the cash that one saves by using the Octopus voucher for groceries, you can then go online and buy something from Amazon that you were desiring. So it doesn't. Whether you do it by so-called vouchers or by cash handouts, it's still quite wasteful. And
right.
The government, under the cover of COVID, has been very wasteful with our resources. They spent over $90 billion on the so-called employment support scheme, which was only payable to employers if they kept people in work. But 90% of people stayed in work anyway and would have done without this scheme, or very close to 90%.
How do you know that?
Well, because you look at the unemployment rates in other countries which adopted a furlough scheme, and that would have been a better way to do it, to pay people who were actually out of work because of COVID. For example, restaurants being forced to close, or bars, or massage parlors, or karaoke rooms, and so on. All the people who had employment before, if you had paid them instead, a compensation for forced loss of work because it was by government order that these places were closed, that would have been a much more affordable scheme. If you add up the ESS, also the $10,000 handout, and now the $5,000 handout, that's about $200 billion, which is about 20% of Hong Kong's previous fiscal reserves gone. And so you can only do that a few times before you run out of money.
So your point, David, is that the vouchers are not going to lead to additional expenditure. They're going to displace expenditure that would have happened anyway. And
right.
So yes. It's putting $1,000.
There's nothing in return. They could have said you could only have the voucher if you are either double vaccinated or can prove medically that you're not suitable for vaccination.
Right.
That would have been a way to incentivize vaccination. Other than adopting a vaccine lottery, like I proposed in April, where they could do a big draw every week for the new round of vaccinated people, but instead, none of it is linked to the objective of getting out of the current restrictions, And going back to your earlier segment, since there's no other incentive like quarantine-free travel, they're not using either financial or policy means to incentivize the vaccinations.
And your comment on the employment support scheme was that I think the money went to the companies to keep
right,
the
so
people.
So there's some of the biggest recipients of the ESS were supermarket chains, for example, which of course have thrived during the pandemic because more people were eating at home, not going out because restaurants were closed. At one point they were closed all day briefly and then they were closed after 6 p.m. If you go to website.com and look at the tabulation of these payments, which I put up a few months ago, and we've listed the top 5,000 recipients, but you can actually search all of them. The top one was Dairy Farm Company, which runs Welcome and Manning's and other big chain stores. And the second one was Kowloon Motorbus. And the third one was Maxim's Caterers, which is a restaurant company and probably would have had some impact. But the money, was very scattergunned in terms of where the government spent the money it could have spent to compensate people for the interventions they've employed against COVID.
This doesn't seem a very prudent way of handling public finances.
No, and that's the problem. We're moving more and more towards tax and spend. Another example would be the government has a small but irritating scheme to pay subsidized property tycoons who want to create real estate investment trusts. So they will pay a certain amount of their costs if they want to list a REIT on the stock exchange. Well, why on earth are we doing that? And similarly, the government became... Carrie Lam became broadcaster-in-chief when she decided the government would buy the Olympic rights rather than letting the free market decide whether it was worth screening and how much they would pay for the Olympic broadcasting rights. The end result of all this, eventually we would run down our reserves, and then what would happen is with an increasing proportion of GDP being spent by the government, we'd have to start talking about raising tax rates. And even then, some of our tax base, the profits that we tax on products that are imported and then exported from the mainland because there's transfer pricing going on, some of those would just disappear at some point because if the tax rate is almost the same in the mainland, then you'll pay your tax there instead of bothering to mark things up through Hong Kong.
One of the sort of secondary goals, I think, more or less explicitly stated for the administration was to encourage the use of electronic payment in Hong Kong. We're often sort of compared with how advanced supposedly things are in the mainland. You know, you can use the Octopus, you can use Tap and Go, WeChat Pay and Alipay. And I think the government sort of semi-officially or whatever said that, you know, they want to encourage that. What do you think of that as a strategy?
Well, it was gradually happening anyway. I'm not sure the government should step in and use public money to favour that over other payment means. But that is what they're doing, and it's created a bit of a
Does it? I think the argument is that it streamlines the economy. If you make payment easier like that, do you see that?
Well, market efficiencies drive people in that direction anyway. But if you use government money to do it, then you're distorting the system and favouring that means of payment. And they're not completely free. The merchants have to pay some fees to the typically to payment service providers, or they take a commission, or they take interest off of the float, and so on. You already could spend electronically using credit cards and debit cards in most retailers in Hong Kong, not perhaps the wet markets, but that's only a small section of retailing. And you think back over your recent expenditure, you probably think, well, just about everything you've bought in chain stores of any kind, you probably have used credit cards and not much cash already. But the government is been favouring so-called stored payment providers, not actually credit cards, but these apps that can store up to $3,000 or $5,000, and then pay with those. And so, as a result, they've been in a bit of a bun fight over incentives to get new customers on board for the vouchers, and topping up the vouchers a bit.
Well, David Webb, many thanks for joining us once again. Founder, editor of website.com, shareholder activist. Thank you very much indeed. Mike, many thanks to you.
Oh, another tough one. I mean, I just worry about the vaccination rate, really, for the whole community's sake.
Okay. The weather, a few showers around today, very hot. Temperatures up to about 33 degrees today, and the outlook, more showers around tomorrow, and on Wednesday the weather improving gradually later in the week. 29 Celsius at the moment, and the relative humidity is up at 86%.